Did you find it quite hard with all that stuff that was going on, trying to carve out where you're going to fit again now that you're moving back into this new role?
Absolutely. Mm. And when the sudden unexpected bit happened, I thought, oh, beep word, I better just get I better just get a real job, you know. Yeah. just get a be an employee. I have been self-employed since 2002, I think, so I thought, you know what, that's just what I'll do. Mm. I actually got laughed at for being overqualified, because the other challenge I had is the only jobs I could be considered for were very senior jobs. As a single mum with a history with chronic illnesses, even if they're well managed, with a daughter chronically ill, there's just no way I could consider them. So I was trying to go for some more junior roles that would get me back on my feet, get me back in the housing market. And I thought, you know, I can do that.
It's time to identify. A podcast from Rachel, from rachelclaver.com.
I'm really excited to introduce to you today Dr. Rachel McInnes. She's not a medical doctor, and she's going to explain to you exactly what her doctorate's in. But I really enjoy talking to Rachel about everything else besides her doctorate, as well as all the information she learned while she was studying. She's an executive coach, and she's got a real speciality in helping people take on board what they want to do and look at their lifestyle to see if it's fitting in with their life that they want to live and the businesses that they're running. So I'm looking forward to talking to her today, and be sure to stay tuned at the end of that for a little song about coaches, which are definitely not the sort of coach that Rachel is, that might want to get you to lay out 15K to work with them. So, Rachel, I feel like I should call you Dr. Rachel.
Don't, please.
Do you want to just explain to everybody what your doctorate is in? Because obviously you're not a medical doctor. If one of us goes into anaphylactic shock, you're not going to be able to help us. You'll just sit there and panic. So what is it that you actually have a doctorate in?
Okay. I'm glad you're not going to, because I got on a plane recently and they said, oh, hello, Dr. McInnes. What sort of doctor? And I said, no, let me off. Okay, so my PhD was... at the broad level, it was in well-being and performance at work. But when you peel down, it was very specifically looking at the variability in your heart rate and how that would influence your feelings of positive emotion, your sense of social support, and hence your performance at work. So it was
if you're feeling panicky, like if your heart rate's going faster, then it would impact the way that you felt about being at work as opposed to it being slower, kind of basically?
Well, it would, except that that's not where that would as well. But my research was focused on the variability in your heart rate as an indicator of your overall health and well-being. Mm. So they talk in academic lingo about state and trait. So if I felt panicky right now,
do you feel
like if we were live,
Rachel,
on air, I'd be feeling kind of panicky with this whole kit on. So if I'm feeling panicky right now, that's my state well-being.
Okay.
And yes, that would affect my performance. It would affect...
Yeah, you'd speed up.
Yes, exactly.
You wouldn't think straight.
But then there's also trait. So that's kind of, am I going to the gym? Am I joining you and your gym going and walking club?
Thank you for talking and feeding my need to show off about the fact I'm going to the gym at the moment.
Exactly.
Thanks,
exactly. That's it. So I actually looked at trait well-being.
Okay.
And there's we'd fill up the whole podcast if I went into it, but loosely,
I'm sure
the variability in your heart rate, the gaps between your heartbeat and how much they speed up and slow down, is an indicator of the health of your autonomic nervous system.
That is so cool.
It is actually super cool.
That is totally cool, but probably won't help if someone has an asthma attack in front of you.
But when I'm in the aeroplane and they say, hello, Dr. McInnes, what specialty? No use. No cardiac
useful,
arrest here.
Useful, but not in every circumstance.
Yes.
So we talk about turning points on this podcast, and when we talked about this together, we had a plethora, really. I'm going to try you lots of long words with you because you're a doctor.
Right.
So, you know, it makes it, but
right.
I can't pronounce most of them.
Okay.
But we talked about all the options of turning points, and we came up to the conclusion that you've got lots, but probably the one that's most definitive for you recently is that you had kind of cataclysmic group of changing points in 1 year that really changed your course.
Yes.
Would that be right?
Yes.
So when was that?
So 2018, I had a cacophony, even though I realised it wasn't noisy, it felt it.
Yes.
A whole collection of changes and turnings and turnings on turnings and unexpected changes.
So some of those were expected changes, weren't they? So what are some of the things that you knew were going to happen last year?
Well, I knew that I was going to finish my PhD and transition back to work. I knew that I was going to leave Australia and transition back to New Zealand.
And those are big changes.
Yes, yeah,
just
exactly.
Regardless of everything else.
Yep.
And you've got a daughter.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yeah.
And so what else happened in that year without, you know, going into depth of personal...
Yes, without... Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I don't want tears. We do have tissues, but, you know...
Okay. I'll try.
But what was some of the other things that kind of brought that all to a head as well with those things happening?
Okay, so as well as all that stuff happening, firstly, my daughter was really sick and yes. ended up even out of school yeah. and with something called the Northern House School, a special school for yep. sick kids. So she ended up sick enough to be out of school. I went from, you know, family life to single life. So yeah. my long-term partner and I separated quite suddenly from sort of, you know, a week between decision and exiting the house. I went from my dream three-story, five-bedroom, three-bathroom home to renting in a two-bedroom basement flat. Yeah, I went from the other sort of surprise one, although I had been working on it quite hard, I went myself from being chronically ill to really quite well, which oddly also meant that I went from really strong, really strict. I mean, I call myself the well-being at work doctor. I'm all about it. And I went from very strict health behaviours to now the pizza man and the wine shop man and the McDonald's staff, if they didn't have such turnover, actually greet me by my first name. I have been thinking they should put doctor in front, but that has not. Right, Dr. Rachel, yes, I want that.
That would be
Hawaiian.
Well, that makes it much better if you're ordering pizza, I reckon.
I think
yeah,
so.
They'll probably charge you more, though.
Probably. Yeah, it's a $5 one. So, yeah, I went from financially being sort of ridiculously comfortable for a bit to being suddenly, unexpectedly, ridiculously uncomfortable
yeah.
because I hadn't been prepared. I was starting my business again. That was going to take time. I hadn't been prepared to be finishing my PhD with zero income.
Yeah, and that's
so that
quite a
quite
big change, isn't it? Because then there's a shock to a system.
Yes, and a shock to the child who's like, what? No first class lounge? Not even any aeroplanes.
Oh my gosh, yes, it's always heart-wrenching when the child has to change their circumstances.
Yes.
So, I mean, part of what we talked about there was you had all that change, which in some ways propelled you into having to move a lot faster as you transitioned back
yes,
to work.
Yeah, yeah.
You were actually a pretty stellar before that coach for executives. So that
yes,
was one of the things that you used to do. And you used to do a lot of public speaking
yes,
and do training and things like that. And then you went and did the PhD. And obviously through that, didn't necessarily want to do the same thing as you'd come out. Did you find it quite hard with all that stuff that was going on, trying to carve out where you're going to fit again now that you're moving back into this new role?
Absolutely. Mm. And when the sudden unexpected bit happened, I thought, oh, beep word, I better just get...
Thank
well
you
done.
For not swearing on my
well
podcast.
I better just get a real job. You know,
yeah.
Be an employee. I have been self-employed since 2002, I think. So I thought, you know what, that's just what I'll do. Mm. And I thought, well, I've got 20 years, quite sort of, high-powered experience. I've now got a PhD in well-being. It's going to be really easy. And it wasn't. And I actually got laughed at for being overqualified. Because the other challenge I had is the only jobs I could be considered for were very senior jobs. As a single mum with a history, with chronic illnesses, even if they're well-managed, with a daughter chronically ill, there's just no way I could consider them. So I was trying to go for some more junior roles that would get me back on my feet, get me back in the housing market. And I thought, you know, I can do this. And I literally in one instance, bless her, she was quite nice and said some helpful stuff. I got told, take your PhD off your CV. It's going to intimidate the management.
Wow.
I got told, it was quite, there's a whole podcast just in that unbelievable experience.
Yeah, because I think that for when you've gone to all that trouble of actually extending yourself and developing yourself and learning all that information, to then find that people don't want to employ you because you've learned
because
all those
of it,
things,
yeah.
Even though you're not presenting and saying, hey, look, this is my other circumstances, don't want to tell you all my hang-ups as I come into my interview, but this is why I'm not choosing a high-powered
job.
It's crazy that then people don't trust that process, isn't it? And understand sometimes that we just want to have something that pays the bills. We can still show up and be great at it, But sometimes it just needs to pay the bills.
Yeah. And for some reason, that's almost socially unacceptable. And of course, it's, as you say, it's awkward to go into talking about that sort of stuff in interviews. So I felt I was very much stuck between a rock and a hard place, where my financial situation at the time was such that I'm thinking, are we ticking into another hour? That's another hour at $20 parking in downtown Auckland. Yeah. No, it was in that desperate situation.
Yeah, I've been there. It's not a nice experience, is it?
No. And meanwhile, having to sort of step into your fabulous self, the one that they're expecting. Mm. So yeah, it was super challenging, but also, and we may go on to that, but it got me really fired up. It got me really fired up about the gender pay gap, about flexible working, about mums in the workforce, and some of that. I'm working in some of that now. So it was a it almost feels like, okay, do you really get this? Now be in this. Okay, now I can speak about that. Mm. Now I can hand on heart, as I was with a client today, talking about in this business situation where the husband wife and the wife isn't being seen as equal. So I felt really an integrity to get into that conversation. Yeah. They both want it to be different, to get into all of that.
Because it is an interesting thing with the woman in the workforce. Like I'm currently writing a book about working mums and going through my experience with it. And I look at that and I go, it's crazy, isn't it? Because we talk about equity and fairness and stuff like that. But when it boils down to it, if you are the one that's a single mum who's a professional, who's still having to make allowances to fit in with your child's life, whether they're a toddler, they're at school, or even if they're a troubled teen or whatever's going on, there's this understanding that that means that we can't show up and do a great job at our job. And there is this disconnect. Do you think?
Well, actually, the research says that when women opt for flexible working, they are seen as interlopers, as slackers, as by their colleagues. And get this, girls, the worst offenders are the female colleagues.
It is, though. I have not been very successful at being employed. I'm very much better as a self-employed person.
Yeah. I gave that away.
But I was employed for a brief period of time as a single mum with my kids, because I thought it would be more flexible and better. And my boss was amazing. I got to have a flexible working environment, and I got a lot of work done by being able to work from home. And the rest of the woman in the team bullied the owner and said she can't work at home, it's not fair, and made me come and work in the office. And the minute I was working in the office, my productivity just dropped, because I had all the these people interrupting me. They wanted to pull me into meetings that were a waste of time. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. I was getting so much more work done then. You just didn't trust it, because here I was as a mum working from home and you couldn't see it. And I look at it now and I've got a partner and I've got my own business, but I often will do work, at 5 o'clock in the morning, or it might be at 8 o'clock at night or a Saturday morning. Flexible working time is about fitting it around your kids if you need to be.
But or whatever, around your health, where you're the most effective, etc. Yeah. And forward-looking companies are seeing that. But actually, some of the people, you're right, holding them back is some of the employees stuck in that old
mentality.
Mindset.
And I do know for me, we only have contractors now. We stopped having staff. And the main reason we stopped having staff is I felt this huge pressure to role model to them specific hours and to do that thing. And it was impacting my health, because actually, I'm now gymming. My gymming is I don't come into the office until 9:30 on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for example, fit it in. Well, before I would have gone, oh, that's not a good role model for my team, which is ridiculous, because I'm often up early working before and working late. I'm not working.
Yeah.
So I do think time is something that we really struggle with in our heads in the modern workplace.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's changing times, and I'm actually excited. And I'm right. I gave up looking for jobs after I didn't really give it too long, and I just went, no, it's not me. And back to self-employed, which is going much better. I can set my rates. I can set my hours. I can set my etc.
Yeah.
And so I'm living workably flexibly while supporting other people to do it.
And does it feel really good now? Are you still using your PhD in that work? Do you use
I'm using it. I actually have two identities at work, kind of split. Yes. So I'm using it on one side completely.
Yes.
And on the other side, not at all. So half of my time, or roughly. It's not quite because, you know, with flexible working, it's kind of mad. But I try and manage it roughly half of my chargeable time is working with small businesses, helping them grow. And that's anything from their sales and marketing to their people stuff. So that's kind of everything.
Yeah.
And not doing it, but seeing what they need and hooking them up with the right people.
Strategically just kind of connecting them up with people.
But it means having to get your hands dirty enough with some of that to know who's a good provider.
Yes.
And that's exciting because it's, and selfishly, it's also wonderful for all my own businesses I'm thinking about as well. So it's a little
bit of learning.
And because I come from obviously consulting and I've done small business, but it's a slightly different type where it's very, very lean, very tight. Mm. And it's like you can't go off to inefficient meetings and
do all that
fluff because it's not
going to. You can't meet people for coffee and something on at 10 a.m.
Exactly.
And have to spend an hour and a half going back in traffic.
Exactly. Even though I can afford it now, I can't afford the time. I can afford
the
money, but not the time.
Yeah, it's the time.
So the other half of the time I work under the McKinsey Associates under my wellbeing at work doctor handle with my mum, which is fabulous. And we do coaching and some of that stuff. Mm. But the thing that's bringing together that we're working on at the moment, a big project around a wellbeing at work audit. That's a tool that we're just you know, putting the final touches on now, looking for people to have a crack at it. And that's about auditing an organisation for how they're really doing with employee wellbeing. That includes all the stuff from my PhD, which went, aside from the heart rate variability, it went into what makes wellbeing and what makes performance, but also bringing our background in consulting and because mum, I like to be with my numbers and big stuff in the back office, and mum likes to be out with the people, so we work well together.
That's
She'll do
great.
The focus groups, we'll both do the presentations, but I'll be doing the, you know, the number crunching and working the tool and evolving the tool. So that's at the moment, I'm just, the downside of flexible working is having to really strictly manage your inefficiencies.
Yeah.
Learning to talk while driving without killing anyone. You know, that's sort of so that
and
you're
drive
not.
Drive safely and responsibly.
Exactly.
And don't film yourself doing it while you're doing
it.
No YouTube videos.
No, I have done none.
No, that's best. I think that's best.
But it's also a great place to catch up on the sleep when you're doing, like this morning, I was at client work 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
I pulled over.
Oh,
and so today is one of those days where I'm like, okay, got 20 minutes, power.
I will admit that I have been known to do that. If I've got a long day, I just pull over to a quiet cove and close my eyes. But I do make sure all the doors are locked, just in case some random person, you know, tries to get in while I'm having a little nap.
Did I do that? But bless my car, Susie, I call her. She has a name.
Oh, lovely. Same as my daughter.
There we go. Susie automatically locks for me.
Oh, good. Well, that's
keeps
useful.
Me safe. Which keeps is awkward when I'm being the mum on the school run because all the children can't get in and out the doors.
Because Susie's
looking after
them. Sounds a bit like my daughter, actually. So looking at your PhD, which was a huge shift and a decision to go and do that, what would you say to people who are looking at a career change and thinking about going, actually, I'm in this space, but I want to develop that? Do you think it was worth it? It's like, you look at all that stuff. What
okay,
do you feel
so
right now?
It's funny because I've been frantically trying to have a glass of wine with someone who wants to ask me exactly that question. And so I had already been thinking, what would I say to her? And I thought, here's what I would say to this lovely woman, I'm looking forward to getting to meet when our diaries match, my PhD set me back financially. It made me less employable. It probably lowered my long-term strategy.
Really selling it for me right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. And it had me a real victim of horrible tall poppy, the nasty stuff people would say when I'm out networking. Nobody gives a, and there would be lots of beep, beep, beeps that you've got a PhD. And I'm kind of like, that's not really what I was here to talk about. You know, actual sort of anger towards me for my having it.
Yeah.
So if you look, and the other side of it is, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
That's really fascinating. Is that because you found it, you just, it filled in you something about answering some questions that you had?
Oh, and imagine just one project that's yours.
Yes.
Where there's no clients, although there becomes a little bit, you know, then because there is the politics there.
But it's just
there,
you finding.
But it's you finding, choosing, and bless the Australian government, love them. They gave me a scholarship for it, treated me like equal over there. So I was being paid, albeit, you know, a pittance, but paid. And then it's actually beautiful offices. As a consultant, they usually give you the dodgy office, but it was actually beautiful offices, lovely support staff, you know. So having this environment to work complete, and I was very, very ill during my PhD, and I didn't even miss any deadlines.
That's amazing.
I pushed through surgery, through diagnosis of like 8 chronic illnesses, through all of that. But my PhD helped with that as well, because I managed to get well by following all the latest research.
That's cool.
And
that is super cool. So do you think, like, looking at last year with all that change that happened, and then you're moving into, you kind of starting to get your swing of it now and move into what you really want to do, and you're growing the consulting side.
Yes, yeah.
And growing that, which is your passion.
Yes,
you love the other stuff, but that is your passion. Do you feel like when you look back on that stuff, do you think that some of the stuff that at that time you thought was absolutely horrific actually propelled you to be where you are now? Do you think it moved you faster to where you are now?
I think it definitely, and around the time we met, because Rachel here helped me in some of, recraft some of that in that time and teach me some skills and rethink and slap me occasionally when I needed it.
Yep, that's Rachel Claver, Identify Marketing.
Nice. Plugging on my podcast. Here we go. So it did absolutely, and the other thing it did for me is make me go, I'm just going to have a crack at that. In some ways I was more open, and other ways I was more disciplined. It was kind of odd, but I definitely, it's like I did the 12 steps in three, you know. That being said though, I probably need to do the 12 steps now, because Chardonnay was a useful tool to get me through. So maybe I need to do the proper 12 steps now.
I mean, you didn't come drunk. You're okay. Let's just clarify to everybody listening. She is sober. She's like when she's sober. But it is moderation. True. Like, I think sometimes we look during those times, we go, this is horrific. Why is this all happening at once? But then when you come out of it, this was what I was saying before, if you come out of it, you go, actually, even though that was really shit, actually, all happened at once, it brought me faster to this point now where I'm starting to carve out an amazing house, amazing place where I've bought my house.
Oh, yes, I just bought a house. Got back on the ladder.
You got back, you're there, you've got a stable place for your daughter, you've got work you love. And that came out of this huge disruption that happened.
I think it's more, it makes me appreciate where I've, and it also makes me want to phone those people that laughed at me for being overqualified and wouldn't give me a job. I want to phone them and say, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think no's are good.
You were so right. Yeah. Thank you. That was a good idea.
Shutting the door can be the best way to open a new door, isn't it? Yeah. Gosh, that's quite.
Would it be nice if they paid for my parking at the time?
Yeah, though? I think so too.
We're not hiring you, but here's $20.
Exactly. Would you like to come for a third interview? No, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
So, Rachel, I have absolutely loved talking to you today. Can I, as I do all the time, we always have to do double conversations when booking time when we talk. Half of it's work, half of it's chatting, isn't it?
It is,
Chardonnay, just to clarify.
Never. Oh, never. That one time.
Yeah,
anyway.
Just that one time. Only you. But could you just, I know you did a little plug before, but do you just want to give a quick plug to your website or where people might be able to find you for McInnes Associates?
Okay, it's just www.mcinnes.associates.
Okay, cool. And there they'll find audit.
Yeah, so they can find out about the wellbeing audit, they can find out about the coaching, they can find out about the other stuff that we do there, and you can, because Rachel taught me how, you can click and jump right into my calendar, make a booking.
Excellent. It's nice getting a plug on something where you're plugging yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
It's been such a delight to have you here today, and
thank you so much.
Looking forward to, and I'm also looking forward to singing one of your favorite songs, but my way, just after this interview.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I met this guy the other day, said he'd make me rich if I would pay. Only needed to find 15K. Well, I really didn't have the cash, but as he said, I'd have to back myself. So I took my credit to the max. It's 6 weeks now, where has he gone? It was him I depended on. Nothing's changed. Where did it all go wrong? I should have read reviews, asked a friend or two. I just thought that Facebook ad was absolutely true. The bank is calling me, I'm not financially free. But that guy took all I had on a spending spree. I'm all out of cash, I don't know what to do.
I am a big believer in going and getting help from other people when you need it. After all, we're an outsourced agency, so if people weren't using us, we'd be in a bit of trouble. But there is a difference between getting help from people that you have worked and done your research about and know that they can do it, and answering it out on Facebook with someone who's promising you the world but you don't know if they're going to deliver. Please be wise. If you're going to drop big amounts of money onto a business and you are stretched and you're stressed out, use free resources first to push you through that next hurdle before pledging your credit card, your life, your business, everything else on the line to get across and get someone else to help you. If you're not able to make those small steps yourself, it's very unlikely that laying your last pennies on the line with someone is going to make that impact. So be wise, read the reviews, and do some of the work yourself before you go and drop that money in with them.
This has been It's Time to Identify, a podcast from Rachel Claver. To find out how Rachel can help your business, check out rachelclaver.com. And don't forget to hit subscribe for Rachel's next podcast.